Chapter 1. Life didn't even feel real. Exhaustion, as thick and sweet as honey, trapped me and wanted to pull me down, but the sensation of being buoyed on either side kept me from falling into unconsciousness. A pair of soft hands feathered through my hair, and another pair flowed down my chest like water and massaged the area over my heart. The combined scent of ginger lilies and fresh clovers filled my sense of smell, and I hummed low in my throat.
Alex.
A voice as clear and cool as water called me toward the surface.
Alex!
Sang another voice, which was as vibrant as a flame and as melodious as a nightingale. I frowned because I didn't want to leave the embrace of this perfect dream. There was a chance my alarm would be going off any minute now, so I could get ready for another dull day at Old Man Leary's jewelry / clock repair shop. And I groaned. The idea of dragging myself through another shift of cleaning the shop and dealing with customers in an existence that was colorless at best and unsatisfying at worst was torture, and I wanted to stay in this comforting in-between world where nothing hurt and everything was beautiful. A deep rumbling clank roused me from my half-conscious state, though, and I was confused because that definitely wasn't the buzzing sound of my alarm clock. What the? I shot upright and looked around. The circular stone chamber of the massive spire elevator I piled into after the heart-stopping race and subsequent duel with my sworn enemy stared back at me. Did all of that really happen? And when did I fall asleep? When I glanced down in search of answers, I was met with the deep blue eyes of Zoe, my sexy cat wife, as she stared at me with a small grin and a flick of one of her black velvet ears.
Hello, husband,
she said in her low, smoky voice. A chiming giggle sounded from my left, and I shifted my gaze to the vibrant emerald eyes of Shalia, the gorgeous phoenix woman, and consequently, my second wife.
Are you well, husband?
She trilled, and then bit her delicate lower lip with her straight white teeth. I bobbed my head between the two of them, and when I realized this was reality, I tucked them even closer under my arms. Hell yeah, I exhaled, and kissed them both on the tops of their heads.
Hell yeah,
Shalia tilted her head. Sorry, I chuckled. I mean, Mercedes B., that's what I'm supposed to say, right?
Yes, and we will make you a native to Avantol yet,
Zoe laughed. And then my two wives helped me to my feet when the stone elevator finally came to a halt. What are we doing again? I asked Zoe, through the haze still clouding my vision and gumming up my mind. I won the race, right? Or was that a part of the dream I was having?
You won the race, my love,
she said, as her ocean blue eyes gazed at me with awe.
You defeated Balauren with your herald blade, and now you are in dire need of a healing bath.
I did it, I murmured as she cupped my feverish face. Shay is free?
Yes, you did well,
Zoe replied, and placed a cooling kiss on top of each of my burning eyelids. Ugh, why am I so hot? I smacked my dry lips and frowned. My brain felt a little like mush, but it didn't matter because I had all I needed on either side of me. And any other brain function, aside from water and bed, was unnecessary.
Are you sure he's well, Zoe?
Shay asked with a worried crease between her scarlet eyebrows.
Yes, he's just exhausted from using his time trance power,
Zoe said, and then she placed the back of her hand on my forehead.
It takes a lot of energy for him to channel that much conviction. I've only seen him like this when he repaired the protective lanterns around the manor house. He must have poured everything he had into defeating Balauren.
He also flew with Prosper for longer than we ever practiced,
Shay added.
It takes a lot to maintain the telepathic connection with the canterfly, and especially one with such a strong will as Prosper.
I almost lost my balance when the spire's elevator suddenly started to rotate around, but Shay and Zoe helped steady me on either side. Where is Prosper? I asked, when I realized I lost track of the black and orange butterfly Pegasus after my fight with that eagle bastard Wren. Then I chuckled when I remembered one of the last images I mentally shared with the canterfly. Also, I may have promised him that he and Victory could spend more time together. He seemed to really like flying with her when we trained together, Shay.
I could tell Victory has a fondness for Prosper as well. Rest assured, Rylan has taken charge of both of them, and they will be waiting for us later.
The rotating lift finally ground to a stop and revealed a dim, flickering corridor that seemed to be hewn right into the natural mountainous landscape of Nada Isle. Along the cave-like walls were glowing stones mounted every few feet, and the dim golden light began to blur behind a screen of fragrant steam billowing in from the baths beyond. Along with the healing steam, the flowering vines and roots crawling along the walls and ceilings added their own fresh scent to the air, reminiscent of early spring.
"Come, let us refresh,"
Zoe said, and the three of us walked toward the large elevator door and down the steps where a half-dozen maidservants were waiting in plain white robes.
"Welcome to the palace baths,"
one of the maids said with a graceful bow of her antlered head, which caused the heavy flowers twined around them to sway as if she was a tree in the breeze. Then the servants moved in to separate the three of us, and I had a brief moment of panic.
"Our baths are separated, but trust us, your wives will be taken care of like royalty,"
the antlered maid said.
"You will meet them in the healing courtyard above when you are rejuvenated." "We will be fine, dear heart,"
Shay murmured and stretched up on tiptoes so she could place a kiss on my lips. "But," I said, when she moved away. But before I could try to reel her back, Zoe was there cupping my face and filling my vision with her steady gaze.
"The danger is over, husband,"
she said and nuzzled her nose against mine.
"You did well. You protected us."
For a second there, I thought I was back in my old life, I confessed quietly, and I leaned my forehead against hers as I closed my eyes. I still felt a little panicky about losing sight of the two of them, but Zoe's grounding presence calmed me, and I squeezed her narrow waist to confirm once again this was all still real.
"We are all here, and we will be waiting for you,"
she whispered, and then she pressed a cool water kiss against my lips, so I allowed myself to drink her in for a few seconds. We broke apart, and I felt a little better, even though I had to watch them leave my sight.
"Come with me, champion,"
the antlered maidservant said as she took my arm and led me through the fragrant mist and down a corridor that branched to the right. Then I was escorted into a private chamber where there was water trickling from the cave walls in a soothing babble, and a bowl of clean water sat on a stand behind a changing screen. The maidservant handed me a small folded pile of clothes and then instructed me to enter the main chamber when I was ready. Then she left me alone while she exited through a larger door near the back of the room that must have led to the baths. I stripped down and donned the pair of cotton-like shorts the antlered maid gave me, and then I slipped on a light silver robe that felt like satin. When I tied the robe around my waist, I also untucked the doula stone so it wouldn't keep pressing uncomfortably against my chest. I held it up so I could take a moment to observe the etchings on the stone's face. The shield design in the center was the same as it always was, but instead of the usual three fish circling around the shield, there were now four. When I killed Bala Ren, my stone absorbed his status, and now I was a rank 4 duelist, according to the laws of Aventol. If killing Ren ever seemed surreal, this was the proof I needed to confirm he was actually gone. I sighed and ran my fingers through my hair. What a wild trip this has all been. After I got situated, I went through the door on the other end of the small room and entered a large private chamber with an almost pool-sized bath sunken into the floor. More vines crawled along the ceilings and dripped their hanging boughs of ivy and blossoms toward the ground, which made the place look like some Babylonian paradise. The next thing that hit me was the spicy, medicinal-smelling steam that opened my sinuses wide and cleared out the cobwebs festering in my brain. "Whoa," I said, as the tingling sensation of something like menthol filled my lungs. I was still bone-tired, but the haze in my head was gone, and I felt a lot more of my usual clarity beginning to return. "Smells good."
"Yes, the steam is infused with ash root oil, which has many invigorating properties,"
the antlered maid said, as she came out of the mist with two other plainly dressed and nondescript maids. She then ushered me over to the deep pool cut straight into the stone floor.
"Come, immerse yourself in the healing waters."
One of the other servants came over and slipped the satiny robe off my shoulders, while the second one poured a warm liquid on my skin and began to massage the spicy ash root oil into my aching shoulder muscles.
"Take as much time as you need to feel replenished, champion,"
the antlered maid said, and ushered me down into the sinfully hot water.
"Oh, thank you."
A groan left my lips as I eased back, and she placed a damp cloth over my eyes.
"Enjoy,"
she said, and I heard the sound of the door closing as I was finally left to my own devices. The water was the perfect temperature, and the oil dug deep into my muscles, which sent a clash of icy shivers racing along my skin. Before a chill could set in, however, my skin was then immediately warmed by the piping hot bathwater, and the delicious contradiction made me shudder in pleasure. So I shucked the cotton shorts I was wearing and sunk even lower until the water was all the way up to my chin. I was just on the verge of dozing off when I heard the door creak open again, and then it went quietly shut. I pulled the cloth off my eyes just in time to see a robed maid pour a ladle of water over a brazier of hot coals I hadn't noticed before. More steam filled the air with a hiss and made everything look dreamy and ethereal.
"Thank you,"
I murmured, and put the cloth back over my eyes. I waited for the sound of the door again, but everything was quiet. Suddenly, a pair of very familiar legs dangled on either side of my shoulders as expert fingers combed soothingly through my hair.
"Miss?"
I smirked, as I reached up to clasp those fine boned feet, and I was careful to gently brush my thumb over the still healing cut I could feel curving over the top of the right foot.
"I hate to break it to you, but I'm married."
Zoe's voice purred in my ear as she leaned forward, and her soft hair brushed the side of my face in a curtain of jasmine and clover perfume.
"I think you might be able to make this exception."
I chuckled and then tossed away the cloth covering my eyes so I could turn around and fill my sight with my black-haired beauty. Then I knee-walked closer on the stone step I was sitting on so I could bracket her hips with my hands in case she had thoughts of leaving.
"Hello, my love."
She smiled and tilted my face up so she could kiss me. "What are you doing in here?" I asked, as I stroked her sides with my thumbs. She was clad in this maddening robe, and I really wanted to tear it off the toned body I could barely see under the gauzy material. Not that I'm complaining. Also, where's Shay?
"Shay was led off to get a special healing treatment,"
Zoe trailed off, and my thoughts darkened when I remembered how Zoe and I had to tear ourselves away from her while she had to play her part as Ren's wife. I could only imagine the type of cruelty that ponytailed fuck was capable of, and if I could decapitate the motherfucker again, I would in a heartbeat. "Is she okay, Zoe? Like, really okay?" I gripped her waist and peered up into her soulful eyes, even though I was almost afraid to see what her expression would tell me.
"Shelia is a strong woman,"
my catwife said as she rubbed my shoulders.
"And she will reveal her story to you in due time. But trust me when I say everything is okay. In fact, it was she who gave me the idea to come and find you."
"I'm glad you did," I said, as her words finally sank in, and the last bit of worry evaporated like the steam rising all around us. Then I rucked the robe she was wearing up her thighs so it bunched up around her waist. "Are you going to get in trouble for being in here?"
"I do not care."
Zoe's eyes burned like blue gas lamps, and her fingers trailed down her neck in a sensual caress I couldn't tear my eyes away from.
"Me either,"
I muttered distractedly. Then I followed her hand as she tugged open the neckline of the robe so the valley of her breasts was revealed in dusky shadow. When I couldn't take the temptation anymore, I reached up with both hands, and I brushed the robe off where it was clinging to her bare shoulders as if I was unwrapping a present without ruining the paper. The material dropped away to reveal her rosy breasts, and I surged up so I could wrap my arms around her and bury my face where her beautiful heart beat within the cage of her ribs.
"Please, touch me, husband,"
she rasped as she flexed her legs on either side of me in an echo of the blood pulsing through my growing cock. "Don't have to ask me twice,"
I groaned and removed the rest of the obstructing cloth keeping me from my prize.
Oh, Alex.
Zoe sighed as my hands roved up her smooth, toned back. She arched and shuddered, and I stood so I could lay her back with her hips poised on the edge of the bath. Then I lowered myself so I could grind my erection against her soft mound, while I licked and sucked at the succulent puckered nipple until it was red and swollen. When I was satisfied, I moved on to suckle her other breast, while my right hand kneaded the one I'd just abandoned.
Oh,
Zoe moaned out, and then she bit her bottom lip to try and stifle the sound of her pleasure as it echoed off the chamber walls. I grinned against her silky breast, and then I nibbled and sucked a trail down to the peach folds of her pussy lips. Zoe huffed as her tummy fluttered in the way it did when I knew she was really turned on, and the small whimper that left her throat sent a powerful surge right to my groin as my cock throbbed. I couldn't wait to be engulfed by her sinful walls, but first I had to make her climax and blossom. It really wasn't a hardship, especially when she clutched my hair with one hand when I got my mouth on her. She used the other hand to fling over her mouth as a series of desperate whimpers left her throat, and my blood raced as my dick gave a mighty twitch, which caused me to reach down with one hand and give myself a quick stroke. The feeling of my hand grasping my steel shaft under the hot water was almost too good, and I reluctantly pulled my hand away so I could focus on my task. Zoe's thighs trembled, and then she whimpered even louder when I swirled my tongue around her tangy center and lapped up her sweet and musky juices.
Alex!
She hissed, and fell apart when I flicked my tongue rapidly over that tender spot nestled just above her opening.
Oh! Oh, goddess, please! Oh, inside me! Husband! Ah!
The end of her sentence cut out as her climax began to crash over her, and I dragged her forward so I could seat myself in her pussy in one fluid thrust. The tight walls of her satiny chamber were even hotter than the bathwater, and I had to beat back the sharp edge of my orgasm as she spasmed strongly around me.
Oh, oh fuck, baby!
I groaned into the side of her swan-like neck as her nails dug into my shoulder blades and her hips juddered and shook.
You still coming, kitten?
I must still go.
She gasped again when I rocked my hips gently and eased her down from the intensity of her second abrupt climax.
That's it,
I said as I pressed her closer. I relished in every pulse and contraction against my cock, even though it took all of my willpower to stop myself from plunging into her over and over until my caveman brain was sated.
Spill inside me, husband,
Zoe whispered in a rough voice, and she locked her ankles around my waist as she tugged me against her.
I want to feel your passion. Put your kids inside me. Fill me.
Oh, fuck.
I growled and stood to my full height with her in my arms and my cock still snug inside her.
Oh!
Zoe cried out and then buried her face into my collarbone as I hoisted her up and down on my hard shaft. Her arms wrapped around the back of my neck and she gyrated her body sensually against mine in a way that almost made my knees buckle.
Faster, Alex, and let me feel how strong you are.
My thighs burned from holding her and bouncing her up and down on my cock, but it was a satisfying type of burn, especially when she pulsed strongly around me. I could tell she was right on the edge, so I opened her hips wider and drilled up into her as fast as I could while I searched for the right angle.
There!
She suddenly hissed and circled her hips faster.
Oh, come on, Zoe,
I urged, just as she clawed harder at my back.
Come with me. Oh, God.
I flexed my hips as I began to fill her womb with my seed, and she had to stifle another scream against my shoulder when her third climax swept through her like a tidal wave. She bit down with her sharp teeth, and I came even harder as my orgasm reached new heights because of the agony mixed with pleasure.
Oh, my love. Yes, my love.
She chanted as she rocked through her earth-shaking pleasure.
Flood inside of me, husband. Give me everything. Yes, oh, it's gushing so warm inside of me. Hotter than the bath, even.
I shifted us so she could tie her long, muscular legs around me, and then I cradled her with one arm as I tangled the fingers of my other hand in the beautiful waves of her midnight hair. She exhaled sharply when I tugged, and I devoured the lush sound with a kiss, as if the world was ending, and this was my last supper. As we rolled through the descending peaks of our shared climax, I truly felt restored, as if not only my body was healed, but my soul was cleansed as well. I was overwhelmed with the feeling of being intertwined with another person as closely as two people could be, and the sensation was like coming home. I carefully lowered us both down onto the stone bench so we could enjoy our intimate connection for a little bit longer as we let the purified water cleanse our bodies. Zoe straddled my lap as I slowly softened inside her, and she dabbed the cloth I dropped earlier against my face and chest. I trickled water over her bare shoulders and watched it leave diamond trails dripping down her vulnerable, naked form. And we spent the next restful moments just experiencing these tactile sensations and letting the heavenly water do its magic. Zoe lifted her hips as I pulled free from her sensitive channel, and streams of my creamy white seed trickled down her alabaster thighs.
Goddess, Alex, I love you.
I love you too, kitten, I said, and took a savoring sip of her mouth like she was a fine cognac. Thank you for breaking the rules. I missed you.
I wasn't gone for very long,
she giggled as I sucked a hickey on the edge of her clavicle. Yes, you were, I said, and clutched her waist to prevent her from getting up. Then I wiggled my fingers against her sensitive sides just to see her squirm. You were gone ages and ages and ages.
You better not start something you aren't prepared to finish, husband,
the feisty catwoman said, and she finally broke free and climbed out of the tub so she could sit on the edge. There's a lot I would like to finish, I rumbled as I turned around so my arms were resting on the side. I had the perfect view of her gorgeous body as she dried off her shiny black tail, and I whistled low as she swept her long riot of ebony locks up off her enticing neck. Zoe darted a simmering look over her bare shoulder before she covered it with the robe again.
You must finish your bath, and I must go check on our Shay,
she said, but I caught her foot with one of my hands when she went to stand up. I'll see you later, I said, and then placed a kiss on the top of the healing scar.
Hurry up,
she ordered with a cheeky grin, and then she licked the tip of my nose before she scurried up and out of the bath chamber. I chuckled and then dunked my head under the water to finish up so I could reunite with my wives. I was especially anxious to see Shay again and make sure she was truly all right, even though I trusted Zoe to take care of her. When I felt refreshed and all squeaky clean, I managed to find my way back to the changing room where I noticed my old clothes were now replaced with a fresh gold tunic, soft brown pants, and brand new boots that matched the mahogany armored belt I favored. Everything fit like it was made especially for me, and the material was something between cotton and jersey and felt luxurious against my skin. If this was the treatment the champion received every year, maybe I would enter Prosper and myself again next time. All things considered, if it hadn't been for the dirty, rotten cheaters who were all paid off to throw the race and let scumbag Ren win, it would have actually been a blast, and I wouldn't mind doing it again. When I was all situated in my new clothes and my trusty Romanesque sword was tied securely at my side, I then tried to find my way out of the underground baths. It was a task easier said than done, and if it weren't for the little pictures carved with arrows that showed how to get out of the misty corridors, I would have been lost wandering around for who knew how long. Finally, after only doubling back twice, I found the wide marble staircase that led up and out into a dazzling courtyard with trickling fountains, marble-like statues of sacred fish, and metal-chained thuribles that hung from giant potted bonsai-like trees. As the fragrant smoke from the incense drifted down from the thuribles, it gave off a scent similar to the steamy ash root of the baths, only sweeter and less harsh when the smoke mingled with the fresh green smell. Underneath each of the shady trees were little circular areas cushioned with large tasseled pillows and plush, Persian-like rugs, which created intimate little alcoves that looked perfect for napping in.
Speaking of napping, I surprisingly spied the familiar sight of RV doing just that under the tree with the gray and blue willow-like leaves. Then I grinned wide when I caught sight of the large, fluffy ears that could only belong to Jenner, as the koala man reclined against his larger companion and wrote in a small notebook. When I approached, I could see how the sloth-like man was spread out on his back with his large arms behind his shaggy brown head, and his eyes were closed in a serene expression. RV definitely had the right idea, and I was struck by how much I missed the large, gentle giant and hoped he would cook some of his tasty stew in the near future. Then Jenner finally noticed me, and my faithful koala butler slash expert on everything stood up from his cushion next to the sloth man, returned the notebook to his pocket, and brushed off his battered trousers.
"Ah, good to see you, Mr. Alex," Jenner said, and his big gray ears trembled in excitement.
"It's good to see you too, Jenner," I replied, as I shook the small man's furry hand. "How's the estate?"
"It's coming along nicely, and your two new farmhands are most anxious to please you before you come home," he said,
and adjusted the ever-present monocle on his shrewd face. "Mel and Bowden, right?" I asked.
"Correct,"
the koala man said, and rocked upward on his toes.
"They are a pair of brothers who hail from the Isle of Lean, and so far they have repaired the bridge and pastures, and are now preparing the fields for planting."
"That's fantastic, and I can't wait to finally meet them," I said. Just then, a pair of familiar footsteps sounded from somewhere on the other side of Arvid's napping tree, and I grinned as Zoe and Shay walked toward us arm in arm. They both looked radiant in their own sets of palace finery, and my heart raced when I drank in the sight. My wives were clad in elegant turquoise robes that clung to their feminine frames, and even though the robes were the same style, they draped differently depending on the woman. On Zoe, the luxurious material showed off her long legs when she walked and gathered around her narrow waist, so when she moved, the fabric accentuated her sinuous swagger. But then on Shay, the same robe draped gracefully across her full bosom, and it hugged her luscious hips, so her petite hourglass figure was given all the attention it deserved. "How are you feeling?" I asked, and brushed one of her flaming red curls away from her emerald eyes so I could get a good look at her.
"I am much restored. And you?"
she replied and took my hand in both of her smaller ones. "I was so exhausted earlier, but now I feel way better," I grinned, and bent down for a brief kiss before I pulled her into my side where she fit perfectly. "Have you met Jenner and Arvid?"
"Ahem. A pleasure, madam," Jenner said,
and he bowed so low the tips of his furred ears brushed the floor. Then he looked over at the still-sleeping Arvid and nudged him with his foot.
"Arvid, wake up, you big lubbocks!"
"Hmm?"
The slothman blinked awake, then slowly sat up. He took a moment to look at each new face before he waved his big three-clawed hand.
"Hello?"
"How do you do, Mr. Arvid?"
Shay greeted with a small bow of her head. Arvid stood up to his full 7 feet and bowed his shaggy head in return.
"And my dear Zoe,"
Jenner said and clasped one of Zoe's hands in his,
"I heard about the brief gold curse you were under, and I am immensely relieved you are well."
"I am glad to be well, Jenner,"
the catwoman said quietly, but with a grateful smile on her regal face. "Not that I'm not really enjoying this reunion and all, but what are you guys doing here?" I asked. And then we all took a seat on some of the scattered cushions and rugs while Arvid seemed content to lean against the giant basin the tree was potted in.
"When we got the Lady Shalia's letter, we figured we would come and see if you needed any help," Jenner said.
"That is most fortunate, because we have a bit of a situation when it comes to the gold Alex and I got from the ruins,"
Zoe said as her tail idly waved back and forth. She looked supremely relaxed as she curled half in my lap and half in the dappled light, and I wondered if those sunbeams were calling to her cat-like tendencies.
"Oh?"
Jenner asked, as he took off his monocle so he could clean it somewhat on his patchy brown jacket.
"You hold home quite a bounty, then."
"More than,"
Shay said, and she gave an excited little shimmy from where she was still pressed into my side.
"Our clever Zoe wagered the lot of it on the races. Since Alex entered the competition so late, she was one of the only ones to place a bet in his favor, and therefore gets a bigger portion of the payoff."
"How much are we talking?"
the small man asked as he regarded Zoe with his sharp gaze. The Catwoman's lips curled into a smile as she sank further into the warm, sunny pillows.
"About 500,000,"
she said with her eyes closed.
"Oh, merciful Mercedes!"
Jenner gasped as he dropped the monocle he was cleaning. And if it weren't for the tarnished chain keeping it clipped to his lapel, the eyepiece would have fallen to the ground.
"You must be joking!"
"I am not,"
Zoe said, as she slouched down even more with her head in my lap, and I could tell she was settling in for a doze.
"It is a good thing you brought Arvid with you, because he will be especially helpful with loading once we retrieve it all."
"I should say so,"
Jenner breathed with wide eyes.
This is amazing!"
"Wow,"
Arvid agreed. "So I'm assuming that's a lot of gold by Nada Isle standards," I ventured, as both Shay and I played with Zoe's dark tangle of hair.
"Let's just say that it is thrice more than what Wren's estate used to make in an entire season,"
the Phoenix woman said. My eyebrows flew up to my hairline when I remembered the Greek-like mansion Shay brought Zoe and I to via her own sailing vessel. The estate was a gorgeous combination of canterfly stables, flying tracks, and several other structures all situated on about 200 acres of land. So if our winnings were more than what that place could rake in from all the annual canterfly training, then we were fucking loaded. Logistically, how is this going to work?" I asked, as my mind started to go over practicalities. "It sounds like a bad idea to keep that much gold all in one place."
"Especially seeing as how you can never seem to keep a low profile,"
Zoe purred as she playfully flicked her soft ears against my fingers when I tickled too close.
"I'm sure everyone on the island already knows Alex Brightwood is the champion of this season's Icarian races."
"And no offense to your brother, Shay, but I don't really want to give any mercenary clans ideas if they spot me with a caravan trekking through the forest," I added.
"What if we split up the winnings and store half at one estate and the rest at the other?"
the Phoenix woman suggested.
"If Alex goes with you, I would go along with Jenner and Arvid to make sure they travel safely,"
Zoe volleyed back as a plan began to take shape. "You would go back to the manor without us, Zoe?" I instinctively tightened my hold around both women. Now that I had them both with me, the last thing I wanted to do was let either one of them out of my sight again.
"We would only be apart for a day or two, my love,"
she reassured me, and she sat up so she could wrap my arm around herself properly.
"I will be fine. I'm a Varthan warrior, remember?"
"I know how capable you are with a sword, but I still don't like it," I grumbled, even though I knew this solution was the best we had so far.
"You are the owner of multiple estates now, Mr. Alex,"
Jenner said as he finally tweaked his monocle back into place on his right eye.
"You must think about naming them to keep them straight. I'm sure the lovely Shaylea will educate you in due time about those particulars, but for now, start by thinking about that."
"Whatever you say," I shrugged. Just then, light footsteps signaled the arrival of an efficient-looking palace attendant in black and silver robes.
"Pardon the interruption, Usher Brightwood," the attendant said, and bowed low at the waist. "But I would like to usher you and your wives to the ballroom, where the Lord Mech would wish for you to dine at his table."
I almost didn't want to leave this peaceful setting, but my growling stomach had other plans.
"Arvid and I will prepare everything,"
Jenner said, as he got to his feet.
"Look out for our favorite stable boy, Rylan."
I stood as well after Zoe, Shay, and I reluctantly untangled ourselves from our cuddle pile. "Will do, and thanks again, you guys," I said. And then the three of us followed the palace attendant. I just hoped this feast with the Lord of the Isle was a bit less of a crazy culture shock than last time.